So what are we here to talk about tonight, boys? I feel like there's...
It's Pokemon, isn't it? Pokemon.
Yeah,
I think
right?
That's pretty much the only thing to talk about, really.
There's nothing really going on in the world of Destiny. Certainly nothing, no salt mining going on in the Destiny community.
No,
so let's,
definitely
yeah.
none of that.
Pokemon Sun and Moon. Fantastic.
Someone sell me on the game in 10 seconds. Go.
It's fun and you're a
Destiny.
Fool and
there's
a coward to go
based matchmaking.
SRL's coming back.
I heard
back.
It's not Destiny, I'm in.
Hashtag it's not Destiny.
Hashtag you need a break.
Yes,
that's true.
Occasionally you could use a break.
Well, I think I know what's on everybody's mind right now. All voices in the community are chatting about this right now, and we have to bring it up. It's the fact that Mega made it to the Lighthouse for the first time ever.
He did it.
Freshies over here.
Yeah,
on
well, possibly the best day of my life. Unless my wife is listening, and then it was the day we got married.
There
but
you go.
It was at least a close second.
We all know it's really
the
Lighthouse.
It's the first of many, mate. Yeah. It's going to happen again and again and again and again.
That's how I feel. Yeah. I feel like now that I've popped the cherry, it's just easy. Like
exactly.
I'll just walk right in. Now.
The pressure is off now. You can do whatever you want.
Now
what was your
loadout?
What
carried
were you using?
Me on his back. Hmm? Well, Fallout Night, it took us a couple cards to get there.
It did.
We were struggling. But once I popped on my lingering song with my four shots and my luck in the chamber, I started to really hold my
own. We had to get revved up a little bit. You know what I mean? The first couple of matches, we were pretty cold. And we were just goofing around with weapon loadouts. And I think we reached a point where I was like, that's it. I'm gluing the palindrome to my hand. And it's not coming off. And then... You could ask Mega. I just wouldn't shut up about it. I was like, dude, why didn't I do this earlier?
Yes.
Why
I love the palindrome.
Didn't I do this earlier?
Oh my god, I love the palindrome so much.
All day.
The entire time.
And Mega switched from the Clever Dragon to the Iron Banner Hand Cannon, which I
lingering
always forget.
Song.
The
yep.
Lingering Song.
The Lingering Song.
His magic
song.
With four bullets in the chamber.
Oh, yeah.
In the chamber. And as soon as he made that switch, we just started rocking and rolling.
We got into the flow.
Or maybe we were just warm at that point. I don't know.
Maybe we were just. I think the hand cannon was.
You were putting in a lot of work.
Yeah,
a lot of work.
I'd like to have seen that.
Oh yes,
we should have streamed.
I was sleeping.
We'll recreate it in a stream.
I wanted
later.
To take a break from the streaming. Just do a.
I understand.
Do a card
it was
with
nice
no
to
watching.
Not have the pressure.
Yeah, no pressure.
Do a casual carry.
Yeah. Oh my god. You did good, though. Golf clap. Golf clap.
Good to hear it, man.
For
was
the
on,
first time ever.
Was that on PlayStation, or did you go on Xbox for that?
It was on Xbox.
I can't have my first time be on PlayStation, mostly because I only have one purple item on my character on PlayStation right now.
That's
I don't think a single Devil's Dawn is going
to
get me.
We need to
me.
Add you up on the old PlayStation.
Yeah,
we'll get them.
We'll play. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So what'd you get, man?
I got the auto rifle, and on 7 wins I got the sniper, which I'm sure Bones is.
Ooh. Sorry, Bones.
Sorry, Bones.
Have you still not got that yet, Bones?
No.
Oh,
nope.
Man.
I have not.
I've had like 6 of them, man. I'd sell you one.
Oh my gosh.
The sad thing is, I'll probably never even fire it because I can't.
Oh,
I'm so
I thought
sorry,
we all agreed. Ixnay on the snipers.
I know. Right?
Bring that up.
And yeah, it was
one
you know
day.
I'm not too thrilled about the auto rifle, but you know I'm thrilled to be there. And I got a Monte Carlo, which was the only exotic that like I didn't have for some
really?
Reason. I've never had a Monte Carlo. Yeah, just never have.
Sure.
Congratulations, man.
Just everyone always has that one gun. Like I'll talk to them and be like, yeah, I never had like a last word, and you're like, what are you talking
about? Wait.
Like how have you never had and it's someone every person in the game has one gun that they've never had.
Mine was a fourth horseman. Xbox got that before me.
Fourth horseman.
Ouch.
Mine was the machine gun from the Vault of Glass, which was
corrective measure.
That was it. Never got a corrective measure. And I played the crap out of VOG.
You know what? That was one that I chased for a long time, too. Like, I didn't get my first corrective measure until after they nerfed Field Scout, so it was worthless.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Yeah. I've been there with a longbow, man. I know how that feels.
Yeah.
Grinding
some,
months for that longbow.
There's some guns I just never got.
Yeah, they hold off on you. Still haven't
gotten
a Praetorian foil either.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's the... No one has that.
Chat's kind of funny. Chat's kind of funny at the moment. I always thought that if the human race was whittled down to a handful of people deep into the future, and they were all huddled up in some kind of camp, a newcomer would enter that camp, and the first thing that they would say to this small band of survivors is, "Where's Teft?
Where's Tefty? Where is he?" On his channel.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah.
Anyway. Bungie Raid Along live stream.
Get a chance to tune in, but I was hoping that somebody else did.
Hopefully somebody here did.
I did.
That's our job to talk about Destiny.
I watched it.
It was good. Yeah, they won. Moving on.
Wait, Black Link watched it. No one else talked. He can talk about it. His voice is beautiful.
There we go.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, it was nothing really too special. They didn't get quite as deep into the lore of Wrath of the Machine like they did with the King's Fall raid. They didn't really have any of the lore people there, just some of the design people, but it was still really interesting to see some of the things that influenced their designs. Like, one of the changes they made towards the beginning of the raid when they were playtesting it, one of the beginning sections where you just rushed by a bunch of dregs, originally that was all captains. And it was horrible. So they had to change that. But it was good. They, like, one-cycled Vosik on hard.
Oh,
which,
wow. Hey, all right.
That's good.
Unheard of.
All right.
It was unheard of. If you ever needed any proof that Bungie's team knows what they're doing, watching them clear Vosik that smoothly was great. But yeah,
why are people complaining this is hard? I don't get it.
Yeah. They demolished it. They demolished that raid. But we got to see a couple of design choices, like some of the way both Axis and Voxus looked before they got their final forms. Axis was literally a Spider Walker tank.
Oh.
He was literally
Scorpion
a tank.
King, as I call him.
Oh, yeah. He was the Scorpion.
He really,
was the Rock.
He really is very reminiscent of Dwayne Johnson in The Mummy 2.
He was bad CG Rock.
In the Destiny movie, Dwayne Johnson.
Can I take a side note and say that was the most... That was the most disappointing moment in a movie in my life as someone who loved The Rock and thought he was going to be, like, in it, and then he was just a CG monster. We can get back to Destiny now. I just really had to
voice he was weird CGI
how the movie
he's been in
me.
Every movie since, so
I know.
You know you wanted.
And look, what happened
I love
to Brendan
the Mummy,
Fraser?
His wife got divorced, and his alimony payments are based on his earnings at the time he was super famous, so now he has to
work crappy
movies.
He was really good in The Mummy. I thought he was.
He was.
Good. I haven't seen him in
a depressing turn.
Yeah.
Hashtag, let's get back to
bring back Brendan Fraser.
Hashtag, don't get married.
All right.
But yeah, the raid right along. It was really cool. Nothing too special in there, but it's always nice to see where the design choices came from.
Cool. Yeah.
I thought it was neat.
There it is.
Also, they know that the Spider Walker tank at the end of the Death Zamboni doesn't have full health, because if it did, everyone would die.
Yeah.
Was their reasoning.
Well, there'd be not enough time to clear the thing out.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, though, that the health bar really does glitch out? Like, you'll be shooting and shooting him. It's like he's not taking any damage. Then all of a sudden, he's got nothing. And then he's one
just
shot.
Gone.
Bang. But yeah, there you go.
Fine by me.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Bungie does more stuff like that. Because it's always fun to stream stuff from Bungie HQ, get the community involved, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good time for everyone. And that was basically it for the This Week at Bungie, right? Was there like
there was nothing else. There was nothing else in it. Just happiness and sunshine.
Yes. Rainbows and cupcakes.
But yeah,
stuff for Destiny. Or for Bungie. Let's talk about the least fun thing in their lives. Sure.
Let's do this.
Yeah, it is a very sensitive and explosive topic, as we've seen, and at the moment
there are some explosive rounds.
Yeah, there
topic.
Is explosive rounds, and at the
high
moment,
caliber.
It's like it really is like topping the charts of every like outlet that we have for Destiny discussion, debate, news, information, socializing, everything. Reddit, Twitter, the Bungie forums. It is literally like everywhere. It's everywhere.
I called my mom last night, and I was like, "Hey, Mom, what's up with your week?" And she's just like, "Skill-based matchmaking is ruining my day.
You need to talk about this on your podcast, Bonesy."
I was in the post office. I was in the post office this morning, and the cashier was like, she asked me, you know, what I'm just standing in front of her. What is it you need? And I was like, "Skill-based matchmaking." Sorry, I need to pick up a But yeah, there's a reason why it's topping everything. I think the coincidence at the moment is that everyone has, every Destiny fan has consumed the Rise of Iron content considerably. Sure. So the focus has shifted over to Crucible over the last, I'd say, when did all this stuff with skill-based matchmaking resurface? Because it's always there. It just drops to the background.
I
want to
say,
now
like, it's been a couple months at least, on and off, but it's really hit a boiling
point. I've noticed that really starting creeping recently. In the last few weeks.
Started to creep
just
up.
Just really, just everything Bungie posts, that's the top comment on it, just constantly.
Would we agree, though, that the reason why it's bubbled to the surface is because most folk that are still really enjoying the game right now are focusing more on multiplayer than they are with the players versus environment kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
So let's have a good discussion about this.
Yes.
Like, okay. One second before we do that. Hold on.
Yeah, get ready.
That's a good call.
Hold on.
I'll just
do something.
All right, let's do it.
I know there's kids watching and listening, so this is apple juice.
Yeah.
Drinking's not cool, kids.
And I was
stay in school.
This is root beer.
I was sniffing a Vicks inhaler.
Obviously.
It was one of them.
Okay. All right. Just know that, like, we all want to talk about this because it's very important, but at the same time, we kind of, it's not that we don't want to talk about it. It's fucking hard, all right? It really is, because tensions boil over quickly. And I was saying on Twitter the other day, like, I would rather stick my head in a goddamn oven than talk about this. But we have to, because it's our job.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. So
I mean, I've never really understood why folks can't. I mean, in my opinion, there's three fields of folk it's impossible to try and categorize everything, but there's three types of folk when this subject comes up. The folks that experience the problems, the folks that don't experience the problems, and then the folks that don't care about the problems or don't notice the problems, but still talk about it anyway. Right. Which kind of muddles things and can kind of, like, cause a bit of a problem. So I think the thing about recognizing that there is a problem. There is definitely a problem. However, there's enough people out there that don't experience any issues whatsoever, and I think that's great. I'm genuinely happy for those folk that don't have a problem. But it's what I call it I syndrome. I first experienced it on Apple forums 10 years ago when I became an Apple fanboy, and I'm like, okay, my operating system doesn't work properly. My software doesn't work properly. I'll go to the forums and see if there's a problem. There's nothing about it. I'll make a post. And then every Apple fanboy in the world comes out with their boners, waving them at you, going, there is no problems. Apple has no problems. It's like, just because they don't experience themselves, they don't exist.
I hear what you're saying. There's extremes on both sides. And one of the reasons I don't like talking about it, or I'm hesitant to talk about it, but we're going to, is because the kind of person that I am, like all the videos on my YouTube channel, I like to dive into the details of things, but I don't talk about the details until I really get my hands in the dough. And I'm just I'm all about, you know, facts, no subjection, no anecdotal evidence, nothing like that. So
is a robot.
I like to look at things, I like to back up and look at the whole picture. So when I approach things like this, saying things like, okay, well, let's look at this from both sides. And as soon as I say that, there are people who react by being like, oh, here we go. All right, come on. Fallout is about to put Bungie's balls in his mouth and be a total apologist. Yeah. And it's like, no, that's not what it
is. No, that's feedback.
Because there's valid points on both sides.
Yeah, you need to ignore that feedback, though.
You have to look. I know, I do. I really do. But you have to look at it from both sides.
Yeah.
And the fan base right now, we have to admit, is upset. And the biggest question is the upset warranted? And to what degree? And I think it is warranted that the community is upset. I wish a lot of them would go about reacting differently and expressing their opinions online.
Yeah.
But, and story, like you said, there are some people who it doesn't affect them as much. And I feel like I'm one of those people.
I am as well.
Because my connection is fine, but I'm not going to be the guy who comes onto the podcast and it's like, my connection's fine, you losers.
Nothing wrong.
Just get good
and
deal with
idiots.
It.
You guys are idiots. This isn't even an issue.
Clowns. Because
working
that
as intended
is anecdotal evidence. That's just my story. My experience isn't going to be the same as everybody else's. So I want to hear from the community. And what I've heard is that there are people who are really do get into some shitty games very frequently with like Red Bar and whatnot. So,
well, Deej asked a couple of weeks ago, give us your feedback. I have never seen such a large collection of very clearly civilized and, you know, very forthcoming adult posts on Bungie.net. Just from that response, like, of course,
really
there's the toxic stuff.
Minor round of applause.
Yeah, like, there was so many intelligent responses.
Doing it once out of ever.
Yeah, and I think that deserves like a serious bit, a nod of the head too. There, of course, there's toxic stuff, but I think I would say this to content producers. I would say this to developers: recognize useless comment and don't. Like, don't pay any notice. Skip it. If someone says, get AIDS, get cancer, skip it. Don't attach.
Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Wait, I started smoking when someone told me to get cancer.
you're telling me I don't have to?
But, like, one of the problems that I'm seeing is that you have these toxic people, and then they are given recognition, and then normal, intelligent people are grabbing those toxic people and labeling them members of our community as if they have some kind of valued position. It's like, no, they don't. They're screaming and shouting and being knobs. They're not valued members of the community. Just skip them. Ignore them.
I love the word knobs.
All right. That's a
knobbed
belens. Topic, though. You know. This topic is less about skill-based matchmaking and more about how the community behaves, I would say, at least at this moment right here. And
it's equal.
There is a big... cognitive dissonance going on whenever this topic comes by, which is we can so easily turn the switch up and say, this is the best gaming community I've ever been, and you guys are the best. I love this so much. Everyone in this community, this beats every video game community. And then we can turn the other switch, and when something bad happens, we can go, that doesn't represent us. We're not responsible for that. That's separate.
Those guys.
And that's
those aren't
really
the real
easy
fans.
When it's some Reddit Scotsman. Comment. Yeah. When a Reddit comment on our gaming says, I quit Destiny after 1 month. That game is stupid. I can't believe a dead game. Obviously, they're not part of the Destiny community, and we can say, that's dumb. But when prominent members of the community are behaving really rudely, and I'm not talking about having a negative opinion on skill-based matchmaking, whatsoever. I am not talking about that. I'm talking about retweeting memes of developers with nooses around their neck and drinking bleach.
Yeah.
And that's not coming from trolls. Maybe a troll made it. But that's coming up on my feed, and I don't follow all the trolls of Destiny.
No, I completely
agree. Like, that's coming up from people that I follow who I think, like, I want to hear their take on this game. Even if I disagree with all of them. I could be the one dude who says I'm right, and I could disagree with everyone I follow, but I still want to hear their opinion. Mm-hmm. And when that stuff gets on my feed, that's a problem that we need to take responsibility for and say, this isn't just us giving feedback, or this isn't us, you know, voicing our opinion because we love the game and Bungie needs the negative feedback to know what they need to fix the most. This is us going... we don't take responsibility for the bad stuff. This is all, you know, we just want to say we're doing a good job. And that is where I'm coming from on this whole topic, which is just, you know, a rehash topic that we've been talking about since December of 2015.
Yeah, well, that's where it came. That's where the real stuff was introduced, and that's where change really was, like, the first time
noticed
it. Yeah.
For the past few weeks, you know, it's always like, they need feedback, and we love the game, which is why we care so much. Mm-hmm. We've really kind of crossed past that line in a lot of ways. That's like, I don't think anyone really wants to address it because we're that, you know, like, anxious, and we played too much, and we're pent up, and we want the game to work, and we all, you know, some of us, it's our livelihood, and we want it to be fun while we do our jobs all day. but we're really crossing that line, and I think that's... It must be factored in if we're going to talk about skill-based matchmaking today.
Look, I'd actually written... I won't do it now. This is not my area for spotlights and things like this. But I actually writ a comedy guide on how to be a better community member with five basic points. It's a funny thing, but there is many little tips and tricks that people could easily soak up, getting angry at someone getting angry. It's a bit of a kind of fight fire with fire situation. If you're guilty of that, literally, if you're getting angry at someone else getting angry as a reactionary thing, then you're part of a very big problem. So, you're making things unnecessarily worse. So if you don't understand or if you fail to comprehend why someone's angry and you think of yourself as someone who gives a flying fuck at the rolling donut, then open your ears, investigate, open your eyes, and listen to what it is that they have to say. Because a lot of the time that I see this thing about skill-based matchmaking, the resistance and the anger is coming from both sides. I'm angry about this, and I'm angry about that. And then there's folk in the middle going, I'm angry because you're all angry. and it just gets completely out of control. So there's a good tip.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at someone for being mad. If they want to vent, let them vent and maybe listen. But I agree with Bones. If you are tweeting memes of developers with nooses around your neck, go get therapy now. Literally.
Yeah, I don't mean to
step away from the computer. Yeah.
But what we're trying to, and we're not trying to say that Bungie is not supposed to be getting hit with our feedback, mm-hmm. our concerns, and hell, our criticism, because they should be getting hit with that. But we have to be going about it the right way. Like Story said on the forums, when there was a shockingly good number of good discussions going on, we need more shit like that.
Wow,
that is what we need. We're not saying
that you should. Yeah, you should tip your heads definitely, because that was a huge thing for Bungie.net.
For sure.
Very, very big thing. A lot of people came forward and wrote some excellent points.
And before we go any further, I just want to make sure that everybody's on the same page here. So why don't we quickly, if you don't know what the hell it is we're talking about, in This Week at Bungie, they laid out how their matchmaking system currently functions. And we should just read that very quickly, verbatim, just so people who might be listening don't know what we're talking about. Let's get that taken. And I'm going to nominate Link to read that.
All right, cool.
Excellent choice.
Yeah, thanks. Nice little intro there. And just to top that off, it's okay to give criticism for the game. As a matter of fact, you should always give criticism for something that you're interested in. But there's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
Don't get so angry. Chill out. It's just a game. You can dislike skill-based matchmaking. You can like it. But don't lose your head over it.
Yeah.
Please. But all right, here's what they say. Equal opportunities. All right, Crucible matchmaking was designed to be as fast and as fair as possible. These are complex systems that serve millions
of players.
Skip ahead.
Skip ahead. Go to the part where here's how you find it. Here's how we go about finding
it. Now we don't get to hear as much of his voice, you bastard.
I know, but we gotta
that's all right. I get paid the same.
Fallout with the... Fast forward. Fast forward Fallout.
Yeah, here we go.
So when it comes to matchmaking, here are their design goals. They provide you with a clean connection to your fellow players, keep the time you spend in orbit between matches to a minimum, set a match between you and a worthy opponent in that order. That's the order that they have their matchmaking. And here's how they go about finding you a match. First, they identify a pool of available players with a good connection to you. Within that pool, they choose players closely matched to your personal skill rating. And if they can't find players within that pool, they widen the variance of skill. If that doesn't work, we expand the search again with more variance in connection quality. Once enough players are selected, we break them out into equally skilled teams. That's basically what they've got.
I have been reading those words over and over to just make sure I have all of it completely soaked in. I'm totally in sync with what it is that they're trying to tell me. Mm. And a lot of where the anger came in is because when they bullet pointed out like that, the first bullet point that you said, obviously, first, we identify a pool of available players with a good connection to you. And then again, at the very bottom, they said, you are matched with players... Oh, no, that's for your trials. Never mind. So as soon as they have that first bullet point where they say, available players with a good connection to you, that's when a lot of the community was like, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we immediately get off the rails.
That's so where everyone stops reading.
Yeah. So reading these bullet points, I just want to get first impressions from everybody. What do you guys think? What do we feel about reading how Bungie's supposed matchmaking algorithm works?
I think that they've outlined their goals right there, but their goals are contradictory to significant portions of player experience. And that's why the community's gone bullshit. Because to them, and to me, it is. And I don't think Bungie aren't lying. They're not villains. They're just they're lining out what their goals are, and they're wrong for quite a great many people. My experience is with the community. It's bullshit. It's not right.
My question, you say the word significant, but I don't know if we are in the... A lot of the people who voice their opinions say it's bad and wrong, but is that a significant portion of the player base actually?
No,
that's a good question. Seems significant.
Probably not.
The thing is, the reason why I say significant, I don't say volume of people. The reason why I say significant people is that all of these people are reporting very negative experiences, and it's causing a lot of them to enjoy the game less. That's significant to me.
That's just my math brain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we're probably talking about. I mean, off the top of our heads, trying to figure out how many people are actually playing. Like someone said on my Twitter feed the other day, millions of people play Trials on a weekend. I'm like, where does it say that? You know,
I think Bungie said that it's usually like 100,000 people at any point, and then a million during Iron Banner.
That's
a good way to check that with like Destiny Tracker and see how many matches were played over a
year.
Sure.
Yep. Okay. If we take those figures there, like just for a second, let's say for argument's sake that they're true, that's more people playing Destiny PvP than Battlefield 1 combined on PC, PlayStation, and Xbox all at once. So that's a huge population playing
Destiny's a dead game.
Yeah.
It's dead. No.
It's a big game.
So I guess I fall into I'm with the Fallout where I want the numbers, where like I agree, I see a lot of people complaining about this issue, but because my own experiences aren't in line with the issue necessarily, I want to see the actual like raw numbers of who it affects, like so I can know if it's just people in an echo chamber yelling constantly, no pun intended,
and you know
from
what?
The strike.
But I would actually add on to what Story said when he says significant. He doesn't just mean like the largest number of players, because obviously the largest number of players probably isn't experiencing what the upper percent of PvP players are experiencing. When he says significant, I think it means the players who are willing to go to stuff like the Bungie forums or the Destiny of the Game subreddit. Remember,
that would
the
be
large majority of players don't go there.
Yeah,
vocal
hardcore
majority
PvP fans, like people like myself. Like I love PvP. I want to get better. I want to improve. I'm there. I'm playing. I like it. I enjoy it. I want to carry on playing it. Here's what's stopping me from enjoying everything the way that I'd like to be enjoying them. You know what I mean?
So I know what you mean, and I agree. Like, every dedicated player is significant. It's just whether or not Bungie can actually fix a problem for, like, something that's only affecting maybe a minority of the player base.
Carry on, Link.
I was just going to say, and they've stated previously that they don't really want to change skill-based matchmaking. They said multiple times that they don't want lesser skilled players going up against higher skilled players all the time. They've made that point. They've said that in interviews.
The interesting thing is with that is, let's say for argument's sake that the player base is shrinking. This is another argument I see a lot as well. Lots of people are not playing anymore. Now, I don't know this, but what supports that theory for me is that, like, I'll boot up Destiny, load up, and no one is playing. Now, in the last 2 months, my friends list has been full of people, you know, like trying to get people together for a raid, trying to get people together for some 3v3, 6v6 Crucible. Easy. Send them a quick message. Bang, you're in there. Now it's like there is literally less than 10 people online.
Now, good point. Devil's advocate time. That could also be because we've been milking the teat of Rise of Iron pretty damn hard.
I mean,
now, I'm not saying
we're into
the
dry period.
Not saying that's the reason, but we have to consider.
Absolutely. I mean, but the focus could be on. Let's take it that player base is shrinking. Let's just take that argument on and like accept. Okay, there might be far less people playing. So what would need to happen then is, if that's the case, is that matchmaking would have to be a bit more reactive and evolve to the shrinking player base, because you can't restrict like top end players from bottom end players when there is really no one in the middle ground left anymore. Otherwise you are going to experience these horrendously long waiting times. I mean, it kind of sucks that players from a huge end of the skill gap spectrum are going to be mixed in together, but surely that's better than having no one to play with whatsoever apart from, you know, people on Jupiter or, you know, playing the game from Neptune with connections that make the game completely unfair anyway. So I think really what the Bungie Weekly Update or This Week at Bungie has like put a spotlight on for me is that there is some significant problems, and it's number one, it's down to the policy of matchmaking itself. I don't think that skill-based matchmaking needs to go. I'm not violently opposed to skill-based matchmaking. I think that there is a problem with matchmaking in general that Bungie need to look at, and that the main focus of this update was like, there's no problems, everything's fine, tough tit.
Working as intended was the overall message of This Week at Bungie, which... Yeah.
And
I love you, Deej, but that might not have been the best way to respond to this.
No, but that's the thing, Deej.
But how else do they respond to something like that?
Here, what's the response that everything is wrong, guys? The office is on fire. What do we do? We're all right. Please save
Working
us, you guys.
We don't know what we're
answer.
Doing.
We're hiring all of you.
So hold on. Yeah. Hold on.
What would they
for
ever
second.
Say?
Join me in a hypothetical train of thought, real quick. Hop on the train. So what we were talking about earlier is that it seems that the vocal majority, that's what I'm going to refer to this as. I'm not going to say a significant number of the community because we don't know how many people this is affecting because we don't know the numbers. But we will recognize that there's a great vocal majority of the community talking about that they don't like the way matchmaking is right now. Okay.
Yes.
So let's pretend that even though they're the vocal majority, that overall, maybe it's like 2%, 2 to 5% of the overall PvP player base is experiencing connections like that. I'm not saying that's what it is. Let's just pretend that it
we're
is.
We're going to pretend. We're going to assume.
So overall, we might think, first of all, hey, only 2% to 5% is dealing with problems like this. That's a pretty good number when you consider all things considered. But then the other part of me thinks, even if it's a small number, that really has to suck. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what their experiences are, but I know that on the rare occasions when I go in and then someone on the enemy team is Dragon Ball Z teleporting all over the map, I'm like, hell with this.
Look,
dude.
He's
and
got
I just like
instant transmission.
Yeah,
right?
Dude, I get pissed off. I don't want to play. I don't want to have to think about matchmaking. I want to be thinking about what is my loadout, what is my strategy, what am I going to do, how am I going to
exactly.
win. I don't want to be weighed down with this bullshit, even if it's affecting a small number of the community. Now, that brings me to my next thought, which is even if it is affecting a small number of the community, that still sucks. What do we do from here? Is this something that we think, God forbid, I mean, like, we leave alone to a certain degree, and I'm not even caring right now about the people flipping out and being like, oh, Bungie,
no,
AIDS, cancer.
Yeah, don't
I'm not even thinking
that.
About those people.
Yeah.
Push those people aside because we don't want to think about them.
Yeah.
But what I do care about is people losing games, maybe dealing with shitty connection out of their control, even if it is a very minor fraction of the community. So just, again, staying on my thought process, what if Bungie has in the past done like little tweaks to matchmaking, right? They've been changing it and they've been kind of vocal about it for the past, I think it's been going on for maybe a year, something like that. Remember
about
when they
year.
Would put out like a This Week at Bungie and they're like, hey, this week we're going to goof around with control or whatever. And you're going to notice that connections. It might be time. And again, I'm not saying that's because of the demands of the crazy community. It's just because there are people who are saying eloquently,
yeah,
this is a problem, even if it's affecting a small number. Mm-hmm. I would think it might be a good idea. Why not experiment? Why can't we at least try? What would we?
Yeah.
What could the bad thing? Take one playlist and maybe tweak your current formula a tiny bit. And if it doesn't change anything, then I mean, maybe we'll know a little better idea that it's only affecting a tiny. I'm just.
Well, the number one thing is
that is not my concrete answer. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah. I'm with
just
you.
Trying to think.
Yeah.
Anything is good. Recognition of the problem. I think that's one of the main things that's created so much animosity with the community that are experiencing these problems. Was the update did not even acknowledge that there is an issue that needs work. And there is work that needs to be done. So just all they had to say was, we hear you, but it's worth noting that this is the way that we intend it to work in the first place.
And again, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm trying to once again look at all sides of the playing field here. Now, when you say it is a problem, that might not be a damned concrete sentence. Because again, we don't know how much of the community this is affecting, and the real question is, to what degree is it a problem?
I think denial of a problem is not a good move.
I agree. I agree that denial of a problem is a terrible thing. Is it a problem? And I'm not saying not a problem. This is the big question that we are trying to discuss as a community. And I'm probably going to get stabbed online for saying that, and that's fine. It's just, to what degree is this
Fallout,
quote...
Never be able to answer that question because everyone has a different level of problem with it. Like you said, the worst thing to you is like when someone's teleporting around, that's infuriating. Mm-hmm. For me, that's kind of like, oh, what the hell? I might even laugh because it's kind of funny. And what actually makes me mad is when a teammate leaves my game in skirmish and I'm fighting two against three.
Yeah.
And that's not my matchmaking. That's someone going like, yeah, I want a whole triangle. Or maybe they just had to pee really bad. I don't know. So even then, we can already say, what's the real thing that's making us mad in this game? And when we talk about this skill-based matchmaking, when you suggest experimenting, I'm kind of down for that. I'm saying, what do you have to lose at this point, at least to serve the people who want to talk online if we deserve to be treated. But at the same time, we're sitting here saying the word matchmaking over and over and over again, but what's everyone's real problem? Is it, I'm a good player and I don't like going up against good players because I have to battle it out every single game that I ever play. It's exhausting. I can't get a break. I can never feel like I'm good. Or is it, man, lag is the worst for me? And then you're the person on Twitter going like, I wouldn't even mind playing good players in skill-based matchmaking as long as the lag was gone.
Yeah.
The problems are different.
As soon as you start talking about it, it's two different things.
You were going to say something there.
Jump in.
I was just going to say, when it comes to a situation like this, you guys are absolutely right. It comes down to your personal experience, and our personal experience is going to be different from yours. It's going to be different from the people in chat.
Right.
I can speak from my personal experience. And when it comes to Crucible, with the way the matchmaking works right now, for people who go through a largely unpleasant experience at Crucible, I can say that's me. I can throw my hands up and say that's me. Most of the time I play the Crucible, I do get into those lobbies with the red bar teleporting warriors. I do generally deal with that. And I have done a little bit of course, this is all from my own perspective, so it's not indicative of the community as a whole. But I have done a bit of testing with that, where I took about 35 matches on my main account, went and made an alternate account that, you know, had no stats in Crucible, and had about 35 matches on that account. And the difference between them was pretty staggering. On my main account, I was getting matched up with people oftentimes who were either across the US from me or a lot of the times in other countries. I got a lot of people from the UK. I think the highest percentage of my other players was like the UK and France, which is weird. And when I go to stuff like Guardian GG or Destiny Tracker, I would look up the player names of the people in all 35 of these matches, and it was all Diamond ELO people pretty much every single match. And when I did it on this brand new account, the difference was kind of... It was like the people I was playing with didn't have thumbs.
I think what Link is trying to say is that he's actually our ringer and he's really good. And he's
amazing. I am. I'm the man. I'm not even that good at Crucible. I'm not even that good at Crucible, but I have been playing this game essentially since the beta, so my stats are pretty padded. And I generally do find myself up. Now, it's not like every single game I have is super duper laggy. I was playing a little bit earlier today and had, for the most part, a smooth time. But I can absolutely say that pretty much every day I play, there's several games that I go through where it's basically what people are complaining about. Mm-hmm. And when I tested that out, again, it's not empirical evidence. This was just, you know, about 70 games worth of matches on two separate accounts. That brand new Baby Guardian account, it was a stark difference. My queue times were less than 3 minutes. Pretty much all the matches I was going up against people who were very low ELO score, very low, even very low Grimoire score. We don't even know how Bungie scales your player skill.
No.
We don't know what goes into that, but everything I was going up against, there was a pretty clear difference.
Yep.
Now, is that all because of skill-based matchmaking? I don't know. I can give you is what I went through.
Here's something that that I noticed about this queuing in orbit times. Now, my matchmaking, no matter what time of day I play, whether it's in peak times for me, for Europe, which would be between 5 and 10 o'clock at night when people come home from work, that's peak time. I could play at 6 o'clock in the morning, straight after this podcast. Matchmaking times are wham, fast as fuck, until I get a win. One win in the bag, then they are so long. It's like literally after that win, and it would be what I call the sympathy win. The sympathy win where it literally lowers the skill of your opponent because you're on a losing streak. It's the sympathy win. It's like it's a constant repeating pattern that I discover. Matchmaking times for me aren't long. Now, I don't know how you gauge people's skill or anything like that, but I don't really classify myself as anywhere as near as skilled as, say, someone like Bones or Fallout. Those are the players that I look up to because I would like to be able to play like these players. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do when I'm playing Crucible. I've got a lot better over the last three months, and this is where my experience has completely degraded. I watched the previous podcast from our competition, if you whatever you want to call them, our peers, whatever you want to call them, and the general consensus was that I've forgotten my point now. I completely forgot.
The general consensus. Just keep talking.
I'll go with it. It was something that Watts was saying about. Oh God! Yeah, it's gone. It's gone.
I'll just jump in. Maybe I'm okay with the lag because I'm so used to my old school Halo 2 days with my sister downloading stuff on Kaza while I was trying to play. My connection just dropping.
I'm trying to download like a Blink 182 songs.
Yeah. That was so her. I would go in her room and turn off her downloads, and then she'd yell at me. It was fun stuff.
Rude.
So
matchmaking for me is very, very fast. It is always quick until there is a win involved. When there is winning involved, that's when things change. And like it said in the this week at Bungie that we don't artificially like try to meddle with any games, but your performance is taken into consideration. And it's like, well, this is what caused me to say this is kind of nonsense. This is the backpedaling kind of business going on. This is bullshit because there is definitely something that's going on there. I mean, I've even had the opportunity to speak with Lars and Steve personally about this when I went to GamesCon. It's there because Destiny is a game for everybody. Everyone deserves a chance, which is why I think a lot of people have problems with the win-lose ratio preservation, is that the matchmaking is undulating, it's changing, it's evolving to try and either cut you a break when you need to be cut a break and enhance the difficulty when you're doing well. And I think this is probably one of the mechanics that's causing some problems or causing some bugs, because you have immense amounts of join in progress games. Like that's another thing. Like, why am I being so quickly matched into a game that's join in progress from cross continent? Like, literally, when there's other this is peak times. Like,
I'm gonna say two things. Just one, the bullet point that continuously jumps out at me. It's just the one I'm gonna just keep thinking about until we hear more back from Bungie if they decide to share. Yeah. It's just the one that says, if that doesn't work, we expand the search again with more variance in connection quality. If all else has failed, they do the search again with more variance in connection quality. So, I mean, if I'm interpreting that right, it means that they do the normal protocol, and if they can't find anyone with a good connection quick enough with your current skill, they'll widen the pool connection-wise again to look again. Yes. And that may be the point where things start to get wonky for that fraction of the community that is experiencing problems like this. Yeah. And again, we can have this discussion as long as you want. I'm happy to keep talking about it. But my final thought, just from me, is I don't know how much of the community it's affecting, but even if it's small, I would imagine that it has to suck. And I feel like at this point, Bungie probably has very little to lose in at least experimenting in some way to see if there's a more ideal. Yeah. Don't completely go crazy, but we know that they have the ability to experiment. They've done it before. I think a lot of the community has been vocal, eloquently, about their problems with connecting eloquently. And
some not.
I don't think there's anything wrong with currently experimenting to see what we can do. I think that's my thought.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Thank you. Here's something that I had a conversation with a gentleman on my Twitter feed the other day, and he was like, "I'm really concerned that because of all this spotlight on matchmaking at the moment, that The people in the background are going to be ignored. There's going to be changes made to matchmaking that are going to very negatively impact my experience. I am a really below average player. My KD is 0.8. I'm really worried that if there's any changes with skill-based matchmaking, that because I'm in this vocal minority, that Bungie are going to forget about me, and I'm going to be all of a sudden expected to play MLG Elite Pros, and I'm going to be
suddenly facing Lumi every game.
Yeah,
now, just rip.
I mean, this is what I forgot earlier on. I watched the other guys talking about podcasts, and Miss 5000 Watt said, okay, let's say if you're at 5% of the population of Destiny is really, really good, what are the percentages that you are going to come into contact with those players if the skill facet of the matchmaking was loosened and it was a lot more forgiving? What are the percentages that, like, players that struggle or don't play Crucible very much, How are they going to be exposed to those? How often is that going to happen? Because that's something I miss with Destiny. Destiny has the only matchmaking of its kind. I've never experienced matchmaking that kind of undulates, changes, alters, and artificially influences things as much as the matchmaking in Destiny. I've played games, you know, forever. You know, I'm an old fart, and I've never experienced this kind of matchmaking before. So what is the percent? How do you think? I mean, have they got anything to worry about? You know, the players.
I really don't think it's a massive percentage of the population. Yeah. I don't.
Guardian GG says 488,000 people were tracked in the last day.
Holy shit! Wow,
Destiny's dead, right? Totally dead. That for me
says the argument that the player base is shrinking has no relevance to this conversation.
Never been true.
Yeah, probably.
The player base is not shrinking. It's matchmaking that's giving you the impression the player base is shrinking, because there are more players playing that are not in the top bracket. So the top bracket are exposed to less and less and less players, giving you the impression. Holtzman said the same thing. I think population is shrinking. And of course, you're going to think that if you're exposed to this tiny fraction of it. And that's, again, the filters of the matchmaking. So if 400,000 people are playing within the... I mean, how many of those are playing PvE? That's another, you know, very
valid
point.
Another big one.
You know,
yeah.
How many of them are playing Crucible? It's
Well, that's Guardian GG. That's the number of players who've had a match in the past 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
So...
I mean, someone said millions of people play Trials on a weekend. I mean, not only does that fill me with a massive amount of pride, because I strongly believe that Trials of Osiris is possibly one of the best 3v3 game modes to come along in multiplayer fucking history.
It really is.
You see Overwatch adding it?
Did they? Oh, I didn't.
Wait,
know. Yeah. I don't follow Overwatch.
Really? 3v3 elimination, best of five.
Dude, they're showing
You can have that one.
The community, right?
I mean, I got you.
One of the first things that I did at Gamescom when I had the opportunity to stand in front of the devs without sounding like a massive fangirl was, you've created the most challenging, the most rewarding, the most deep, the most complex, the most thrilling and exhilarating multiplayer there is, right?
Yeah.
Stop fucking with people. And they all they're laughing. I was like, let battles be battles. That's something I miss with I used to play Battlefield 3 hours and hours a day. Server browsers, it's a very different thing. I'm not going to cross compare, but what I miss with Destiny is the fact that a battle is spontaneous. It's like, am I going to be up against people really good? Am I going to be up against people that really need to work on something here? There was like a spontaneous nature to a fight, to a battle, you know? Destiny doesn't have that. I know exactly what kind of things I'm going to face when I get into my games. It's going to be really, really on the nail, like to the teeth, like lag, absolute competition until there is a significant win, like losing streak, and then there's a few sympathy wins, and then it's back to, like, as soon as your performance goes back up again, that's when things start getting laggier and just getting messier, and it's like, oh man, why am I playing now? You know what, why am I bothering with this? Because this is just too much. So there you go, I'm gonna shut up now.
All right. I can wrap it with two little pieces of advice. You don't have to like them. First piece of advice. If you can, do everything in your power to improve your internet connection. Use an Ethernet cable. If you play on the TV downstairs and your modem is upstairs, there's things you can plug into the outlets to do it, get a really long Ethernet cable. My connection improved when I went from the TV downstairs to a monitor, connect hardwired to my router. Do whatever you can to get better internet. Or if you have really bad internet because you play at your grandpa's house and he doesn't know how internet works, then that might impact your game, and just be aware of it. Number two, to ease your minds, if you'll accept this as a reason, you're never going to get the full explanation from Bungie. That's not how companies work.
No.
It's not how anything works.
Nope.
You're never going to, and you're not entitled to, this full breakdown of the guy saying, come into my office and let me tell you how we do our jobs. Just like how I ask John Wisniewski, how does Aim Assist work exactly? Tell me everything. He's not going to, because
it's
then
secret
you get
souls.
Games going like, how do we get... how do we get our games to be as crisp and tasty as Destiny? Like, they won't.
He didn't
and maybe
tell
you,
that? Because he texted me.
Of course he did. I don't want to know what you did to get that.
Yeah, but he doesn't take him dancing on a Friday.
And Fallout, you'd be murdered if you told anyone else, right?
Absolutely,
like, that's,
it would be.
So,
they're trade
so
secrets,
just keep that in mind.
It's trade
when
secrets.
We say, exactly. So when we say, communicate more, they communicate with us every week. And on Twitter, through multiple venues, you can directly talk to, and if you're nice, you can directly talk to the people who invented sidearms, if you like sidearms and stuff. Yeah. Or, hey, like, what's up with trials, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them be receptive to nice people. But don't assume that we're entitled to everything we ask just because we ask and we care. And if you can keep that in mind and say, yeah, all right, that makes sense. Like I try to do, sometimes I want more. Then you can go about being a hardcore Destiny player every day. Hardcore means you're committed. It doesn't mean good. It doesn't mean Luminosity. It doesn't mean me. It doesn't mean Fallout. It means you're committed. Just like all of us here in this Twitch chat and everyone listening to a Destiny podcast.
Yes.
Right. You are a hardcore Destiny player. We love you.
We are Legion.
Keep listening.
Exactly. We are in this together, but we all want stuff, but there's some stuff we'll never get. So if you keep that in mind, we can just enjoy this game and just have a little more fun, even if parts get us annoyed. Personally, I like hanging with my friends in Destiny more than I care about what's
like
happening in the game. So just, if that helps at all. If it doesn't, you can say, fuck you, Bones, you shill.
Good point about the... about
take
the
a
cheers.
There's nothing. This annoys me. It annoys me when people are saying, oh, shill, Bungie, D-Rider, all this stuff. It's like, no, man. It's like, if you enjoy the game and you're having fun with it and you're really confident, you know, I mean, I'm confident in the game. It's still one of the best games around. People say, oh, it's dead. And it's like, if you just heard about the figures that we're talking tonight, there's more people are playing this game than pretty much anything that we have at the moment. You know? And good point about the fact that Bungie are communicating. I am so grateful for that this week at Bungie, because it spotlights one of the problems. It literally now, it's in our faces what the problem is. And this is the suspicion that I've had for a long, long time. And that is that they are either unaware that something's not working in line with their goals, or there is a bug somewhere that's preventing their goals from being achieved. And now they're going to know, you know, because there's so much really good feedback. Huge kudos to all of the guys that have made very civilized videos, like expressing their concerns and their experiences. They've provided footage, they've provided scenarios. Huge thanks to people that are doing that. It's all about spreading awareness and having a discussion, you know?
So, shout out to people who keep level heads. I think I saw a tweet from Triple Rec on Twitter. Shout out to Triple Rec, because he said something like, all right, just like, come on, the toxic nature, we're not going to get anywhere. Just chill with the toxic back and forth. It was really nice to read that.
Same with My Name is Bife. He put out a really great video that was level-headed and gave a good perspective on this, too.
And your video, Link, as well. I couldn't rate it. I tweeted it out so much. Your video on win-loss ratio. That was so well put, mate. You know, and it's like, that's the kind of stuff that we need. That's the kind of stuff that needs to be looked at and needs the attention. I just wish the folks that are like very, very nasty, vicious, and, you know, very anxious that, you know, to get pretty nasty, I wish people would not recognize them as much. I know it's hard. Like, you make a video for PD, you do a podcast, and you look at the YouTube comments, and some of them are fucking horrible. You know, they are literally disgusting. And they, you know, they stick in your mind more than great job. I really appreciate that. They do stick in your mind. Well, they do with me anyway. So, and actually, I can only imagine that for a developer, it's like a million times worse.
Who gets it?
Actually, story
24/7.
I want to say that for me lately, the positive messages have been sticking out more.
Good.
I tweeted
that's
out.
That's a sad.
But you didn't do a Queensbreaker Bow video. Listen, with a new element to it. You didn't. Yeah, that was a
who
new
could
thing.
Hate that video?
Somebody messaged me. I just randomly signed in to Xbox, and sometimes people message me when they find me in matchmaking or whatever. But I got a message, and I opened it up, and it was like, "Hey, you know, I just wanted to tell you that you and the boys on Planet Destiny are doing a damn good job, and I think you're doing
Yeah, I've had two of those as well.
It made my night. It was like, you guys are talking about good stuff. You got good chemistry. We're having good discussions. You're killing it. Keep it going. And I was like, you know what? That's awesome, man. Like, when we first started doing this show, it's not that there was, like, anger. It was just a little bit of confusion because, you know, the changing of the guard or whatever. But, you know, The positive messages to me stick out more, and I like seeing the love flowing in the community, and that's always going to stick with me more. So
I'm all about embracing the positivity.
My glass is empty.
I love you guys.
My glass is empty.
It's not the scotch.
Fill that back up. You're talking. The more you drink,
it's perfect because we're kind of coming to the end of the matchmaking talk. So even though the glass is empty,
here we go.
Down to you guys for doing this show. I think we're doing great. I love doing this with you. And here's some more good times.
Yeah. Now, can we talk about something happier?
We talked about
I figured this new thing out. If you teabag on a capture zone, it goes faster.
Dude, that's a fact.
No, Fallout, come back.
I thought he'd want to know so he could do a video about how it.
I'm doing this podcast now. What's up?
What's up?
Yo, welcome new Fallout.
Fallout,
woohoo!
Wow.
Put her back on.
Yeah.
Bring her back.
No. We want new Fallout.
New Fallout confirmed.
The same amount of baby face. I mean, it's really, it's
still no beard.
Cute couple.
All right, Mega.
Shots have been fired.
Sorry.
Minutes after saying
we get one lighthouse run, and then he can stop.
I'm too big for my britches
nice.
Now. You see, this is what happens when you get me there.
Wonderful.
Shit.
All right. Well, what else is there to talk about, boys?
Yeah, we had a whole. We had other parts on this outline. Let's talk about racing.
Racing.
Well, towards the end of this week at Bungie, they make a couple of references to things. They say they're packing their bags, going to be heading to California soon. I think that might be for a certain PlayStation Expo that's going to be going on next month. What do you guys think?
Oh.
I believe anything that TBL tells me, so I think he's right.
Give me your credit card number. I'll buy you cookies. It's looking like they're going to be showing up at the PlayStation Expo. What is it? The PlayStation Experience, I want to say, is what it is. And that is where last year Sparrow Racing League was officially unveiled. And it looks like we might be getting Sparrow Racing League 2 around the same time.
Yeah.
Is either going to be crossing that finish line sometime soon. So you guys want to talk a little bit about what we what we'd like to see from the Racing League this time around?
More maps.
More maps.
More SRL.
More
of it.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't see that as a major negative. It was like, either have it or not. I'd rather have it. And two maps was better than one map. You know?
That's valid. Valid. I just got a little bored with two. I like diversity, but I'm I wanted it to be full blown Destiny Mario Kart, you know, so that's my
me too. I think like I wanted shells and
yes, I want blue shells to save me at the end. Yeah.
And I think, if anything, if I had any complaint about Sparrow Racing League last year, it was that. It was a 3-week long event that only had 2 maps. Mm-hmm. I just wanted more. That's all I wanted from it. Everything else was great.
Which is a good complaint to have, to enjoy something so much that you want more.
When your complaint is, I want more, they did something right.
Yes.
I think that is one of the great criticisms. It's like, I've seen developers go, you could just play another game for a bit. I mean, you don't have to play Destiny all the time.
And
it's
I want more.
Hang on, guys. People want to play your game exclusively. Be proud of that fact. You know? Like, if people want to exclusively play Destiny, that's something that you should put in your bullet, in your chamber, and shoot it all over the place with pride. Because people want to play, you know, exclusively. So, yeah, man.
So, yeah.
private matches?
I agree.
Do you think we can do private matches with Sparrow Racing?
Oh my gosh. If the Racing League is going to be a temporary event like it was last time, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks, I hope afterwards they add it to private.
That would be amazing.
So you can just host them whenever.
Sparrow jousting, anyone? Sparrow jousting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wouldn't that
First
be good?
Light Sparrow jousting.
Have a big lance, and then you got to knock your guardian off the sparrow. I'd like a bit of that. I'd have a feast. I'd get into it. I'd wear all the shit and have a feast and a chicken leg hanging out my mouth.
Full blown armor. I assume that's what all English people do anyway. I thought that was
hilarious. Oh, every Sunday.
Yeah.
Every Sunday.
I have a Sunday dinner at the joust.
I have my loincloth. There's a roast chicken in my mouth. I'm drinking wine. There's a guy playing a lute in the corner. I have to pay him. Everything. It's
great.
Can we get SRL to be more like Road Rash? I want to just take out like a chain or like a pipe and start clubbing the hunter next to me.
I think you should get supers. You
Wasn't there a petition to add the Road Rash kick?
That'd be great. Just kick everybody.
SRL.
Imagine if you threw your Nova Bomb and it like you kept one arm on the Sparrow and like threw it while driving past someone, just like awesome.
If it
around
did it
ground,
like one of the tricks amazing. And you like threw it between your legs, that would look
Man. But the Fist of Havoc could like slam the sparrow straight down into the ground if you're like about to land on someone.
That
would be amazing.
I actually found my old Sparrow Racing time. I told you that I had like one of the top times in the world on Venus.
Time for some
I had it saved. I have the screenshot saved on my OneDrive. I totally forgot about it, and I have it.
Tweet it.
And I haven't tweeted it yet, and the reason that I haven't is because I will inevitably get hit with the wave of, oh, I ran it faster than that. I don't have any screen caps of my time, but I totally
did. What you
got to
do is you got to teabag while you cross the finish
line.
Beat
you by 3 seconds.
If you teabag while you cross the finish line, it cuts off like 3 seconds.
That's kind of a secret. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, no, you have to do it at the start of the race. It immediately gives you -3 time.
Oh, but I'm waiting.
So you got to hop off
the thing that bothered me about the previous incarnation was, there wasn't enough, of a risk when you slammed into another sparrow. I think that if there should be more, like, I don't want to hit another sparrow at all. It's all about the time. I don't want to hit something. I need to focus on not because it was like the matches that I was in. It was like a cluster of sparrows all tangled to each other all the time, and I'm like, ugh! I didn't like that. I thought this is not.
We play like a tiny bit differently story. I'm more super anal than you.
Smash
I was trying so hard to beat my girlfriend's time. I was losing sleep. Like, and the thing is, when you're trying to get that perfect racing time, you know almost right away if you're going to get it or if you're not going to get it.
Yep.
And I would do the race and I would take off. And then someone would like bump me just a hair and I wouldn't take the first turn perfectly. And I'm like, go to orbit.
Quit.
Rematch. And the good thing about that, I know that makes me sound like a huge scumbag.
Rage quit.
There's no such thing in SRL as joining a race mid-game.
In progress.
So every time I would leave and go in, clean race, and then I would do it again, and then someone would push me out and be like, go to orbit, like, because I'm not going to waste
time. You're the worst.
If I'm not going to beat my girlfriend's high score. And then I finally realized I was right with the world.
God, I'm terrified his microphone's going to cut out every time he's saying beat my girlfriend's high score. I'm terrified.
Just
it's going to
cut
out
it right
the
there. That's
there.
The audio.
Wife beater.
I feel you, bro. I used to do world record runs in Mario Kart. And you're absolutely right. When you're doing world...
Oh.
When you're, yeah, I know. I'm a nerd playing Mario Kart. But you know if you hit one turn wrong, if you hit a boost wrong, you know immediately, well, I missed that. Got to start it over. Oh, so you know what? I ain't even mad. Back to orbit. Start it again.
Yeah, I know but how you feel. I used to do some pretty sick races against my ghost in Mario Kart Double Dash.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
The moment it gets ahead of
what
you,
a champion.
We start.
Oh, jeez. I know. I'm a super tough competitor. Super MLG over here.
Wonderful.
But yeah, you know, and one of the things I'm really excited about, they laid some hints in a previous interview when they said that they recognize that a lot of the player base doesn't just want Sparrow Racing League to be tied to a PvE atmosphere, and that they want to look at adding in some, or not PvE, but PvP atmosphere, mm-hmm. and they want to look at adding in some PvE components. Now, what does that mean? I have no idea. Yeah. Am I excited to hear about it? Yes.
It probably means very microtransactions. Yes. Am I right, everybody?
Oh, no.
Spending Racing League.
Yes. Oh, God. That's oh, totally going to be...
You just coined a term.
Yes, that's going to be the term now, Story. You just did that. That's your fault.
No, this isn't I'm my out. Term. More this was thrown around on the interwebs, you know. I don't have a problem with...
But yeah. You know, they did say that they were going to add stuff, which is going to be like more than just classic SRL. What are they going to... Oh, thank you.
Oh, ooh, the good Fallout. Yes, thank you, good Fallout. We miss you. You.
That was the hidden message. Drink more. You make more sense when you're drunk.
So what do we think they might add? Because they did say that they know not everybody likes SRL, but they were going to add potentially another component just to mix things up.
SRL raid. That's totally going to be it.
Oh,
it's
just
the whole raid all done on your Sparrow. Trust I think me, I guarantee it.
With SRL, we need something for the PvE fans, I think, essentially. I think it's the kind of thing that needs to be introduced. I mean, of course, it's multiplayer. We're all competing against each other, so there is the PvP element there. So I'm hoping that it's something a bit more PvE-oriented. Maybe some enemies and stuff on the tracks, or, you know, maybe there's some kind of, like, objective as well as the racing that needs to be done. I don't know.
I mean, fingers crossed.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I really hope they put some sort of story missions in that are like Sparrow based, like Sparrow Racing based.
How would they do that? I mean, this is the thing. Like, what? Yeah, how would they do that?
I mean, that's a good question, but I'm not a game developer, so
designer.
I can't answer.
What if you go to the tower? And Eris Morn is like, I challenge you to a foot race around the tower.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
I'd be so uncomfortable, like,
racing
Eris in a
racing
race.
A blind person, first of all, is a little messed up.
After we blew up her ship, by the way.
Yeah.
How much can we destroy of Eris Morn's property? She like runs into her own table filled with knickknacks and knocks it all.
Oh,
throwing raisins also, behind us to trip. Yes.
This is getting dangerously close to Diddy Kong Racing levels here.
Nice.
We need to watch it.
Nice.
I think Eris is going to have her revenge for that at some point. Someone's going to get bitten in the ass for that.
Sure.
But
oh,
yes.
Good times.
I'm looking forward to it. It is. It's a very unique time.
It comes
at Christmas. It's like, okay, guys, let's forget about the content drought. Let's forget about the matchmaking. Let's forget about everything. Hop on your Sparrow and have some very casual fun, you know?
Yeah.
So. And hopefully the drops from it this year are going to be as great as they were last year.
Yeah.
Like, so the shaders that dropped in Sparrow Racing League last year were some of the best in the game.
Oh, my gosh. That pink Ranger shader is amazing.
Love it.
The pink Ranger, I think it's like Midnight Lumos, I want to say.
Dang,
yeah. And, all the racing shaders were great. The armor was cool. I hope if we're going to get more racing gear this time, I hope it's all infusible. Yeah. I don't think there's any reason for the racing gear to not be infusible.
Those class items are like Crucible Booster and Vanguard Booster. It's like, why aren't there more of those? Please, let's have more. Because they look cool as hell as well.
I always want the speaker stuff that is like the highest end class item, so to speak. But like those beautiful hunter cloaks, and it's always Vanguard, and I'm like, I don't really, even if I'm running strikes, it's probably not for rep.
Yep.
So I'd love an option there.
I think maybe class items in general could all have like the choice. And then that would definitely help spread a lot more variety in the appearance of your characters.
Definitely.
I'm just sitting here wondering about why TBL said like all the armor should be infusible. My conspiracy theory I've just concocted is the game would crash if there were like 16 guardians with the flashing armor and they made it not infusible.
Now that we dropped the last gen support and we've got chroma, we've got the raid gear that lights up, and there's so much light
that won't blow up your game anymore.
That's my favorite Christmas armor to wear because of the flashing lights on it. I feel like I'm a Christmas tree when I put it on.
One change, now that you've mentioned that, I hope there's not a $10 racing book this time around.
No, I think they're going to learn from that. I honestly don't think that there's been, like, with the Rise of Iron books and everything like that, I think that is going to be something that you're going to pick up. If they repeat it, it'll be something that you just collect.
And if it's still there and they do want us to pay for it, hopefully, at the very least, if you bought it last time and you're an idiot, like I'm sure some of us in here, including myself, don't have to buy it again. That's all I can say.
No, I think that they'll probably keep it in line with how things were in the Festival of the Lost. The Festival of the Lost was you don't have to have this stuff. Mm-hmm. You can buy it if you want to have it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, I mean, not to be a downer there, but we know there's going to be some sort of microtransaction that comes.
It's
got to happen.
It's the constant overcast cloud for me as somebody who has to buy
and bones
anything
pours
cosmetic.
More.
just as long as we don't need it.
Yeah, you know, and again, as long as it's cosmetic, it's fine.
But I do need it. That's the problem.
This is the problem here. We're all freaking addicts.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's a good job. I'd rather have an addict in this kind of position than someone who doesn't bloody play the game anymore. You know?
That's true.
End of the day, I'm hyped for Sparrow Reglazing.
Sparrow Racing League.
You know what? Open challenge. When it finally does come and you get a really good score, screen cap it and tweet it at me, because am going to beat all of your asses.
Black Fox, I know you're in the chat there. Buddy. Do it.
Yeah, I do give up. All right. I have your dedication.
I love SRL. I'm dead serious. I'm going to fucking grind my ass off for no other reason than I want to beat all of you with my best
sword. Oh my gosh.
He's got to be the very best.
So please bring it. Like no one ever was.
Yeah.
To race them is my real test.
To beat them is your cause.
SRL.
Can I just say that is the solo I sang my senior year in choir. I just want to point that out. I sang the Pokemon theme. It was great.
Well done.
Is there footage?
Well done.
Wow.
Has it been immortalized?
There actually probably is footage, because they usually sell DVDs of the senior performances. Ooh. So somebody out there probably owns me singing the Pokemon theme. Oh. It was great.
All right, researchers, get on that.
Yeah, man.
Find it.
I think
you
should slip that into a Husky Raid vid somewhere, just every now and again.
Oh, yeah. No, there are worse Husky Raid things. If you dig into Husky Raid's past, you can find some pretty embarrassing footage on YouTube, let me tell you. All right, but that enough about us.
Enough of it.
Enough about us.
SRL's coming. I think we've covered those points there. Trials map this weekend. We're back to normal, aren't we? Apart from we are sticking.
Yes. Hey, good news.
We're sticking with the more kind of sniper favorable maps almost. Rusted Lands has got quite a lot of lanes.
I don't know if you need a sniper, because there are none on my team when we made it to the lighthouse.
Tell that to my Matador story.
Well, I know there's a lot of people still running the old Matador. True,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I really like Rusted Lands. I think that's one of those maps that
that's not what you said like 5 hours
well.
Ago.
That's true. It's not. Dude, I will say anything
exposed
in the heat of the moment of a PvP.
That's very true.
Guard.
Very true.
Yeah, he insults me personally when we're losing. He's just like,
he was insulting you even though you weren't there. He was just yelling,
yeah, I
hate bones. This is
curled hair and his chiseled features.
Play to win. Whatever it needs.
Yeah, but no, I mean, overall, do you guys like Rusted Lands? I think it's a pretty well-designed map.
It's the first map I've built a lighthouse on. It's my favorite map ever. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
I don't hate it, but, like, I think the reason why I don't find it as fun as some of the other maps is that when you're up against a really good team, it's like, it's a standoff of who makes the first move, who presents the first weakness, and if you're not patient and you don't wait... then you can be put in a very difficult situation. I like playing the games where it's like you get into position fast as fuck and you make an aggressive push and you really try to take people by surprise, like an ambush. I like that kind of environment. With Rusted Lands, it's like there's a couple of different strategies that seem to be really effective, like holding B and then waiting.
Yep.
Patience
waiting.
Yeah, but also
really
like
does seem to be key.
Good players just don't get ambushed. I don't know if that's map specific.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, good teams.
Bones with the get good.
Yeah, get good, scrub.
I mean, it's a serious thing. It's like if two good teams are going up against each other, regardless of how it occurs, whether it's a long snipe or not, the first weakness might often determine the outcome. I mean, that's
true
in any case. So to say that, the aggressive move is what we prefer, well, that's just a shotgun trade against two good teams. So I just don't know how Rusted Land differs from other maps in the sense that exposing the first weakness is the big problem. And I think that can happen on maybe bigger maps, in quotes, because Rusted Lands is not that big. Mm-hmm. I think, but people don't want to look out, assume that there's a sniper scope on them at all times. I think, Ray, get off my face.
I think
First Light exposed that a lot, with a lot of people just going like, maybe I'll check over here, blam, in the side of the head.
Right in the back,
And if you make a push aggressively to the other side of B, and you're going through the B alley, what did we learn about the explosive crates, Mega?
You always shoot the crates before you enter the B alley.
Yeah. What did you learn?
Dude,
I learned as Fallout Daredevil, shouted at me for the third time that I
love
have
you
to shoot the crates.
Death. Like, I'm like, okay, dude, remember, if we push B alley, we gotta shoot the crates. Gotta shoot the crates. I kept every round, and then
look
over, and my girlfriend and Mega get double killed, and I was like, "What did I just say?"
I was told by Fallout, stick next to her, no matter what. She entered, so I went in. All right, clearly it's your instructions to give me. Bad instructions.
I've seen those crates ruin many a dream.
Yes. I'd say the only problem with the Rusted Lands for me was just more of a feeling of tension. I always felt like there's so many ways people could be approaching me that I was always on edge whenever I was anywhere. I don't know. Mm. But that's just from a noob like me. Like Bone said, if you're good, it really doesn't matter. You know where people are coming from.
I'm going to say if you want to succeed on Rusted Lands, if by the time you're listening to this podcast, it's already Monday, you've still got time, go out there, make it happen. Yep. Just remember the fundamentals. Stick with your teammates. Remember to always communicate with each other. You always got to be talking. Very important.
Yeah.
You can try to split up a little bit to get angles, because that can really help if you can get some great primary shooting, gun them down, and then move in. But you don't want to swing too far away, because then you know what's going to happen. The person who tries to go around too far to get that angle is going to get outnumbered, outgunned, 3v1, 2v1, whatever.
Yeah.
So stay together, play smart, and when when you get that first kill, work together, push up a little bit. You want to keep advancing forward. You want to make sure they aren't able to get that revive. You want to smother them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't want to give them that wiggle room. And those are the fundamentals that I always talk about.
Yep.
You know what's good though, Story, you mentioned those people who just want to sit on B. I think it's really funny is if you just do that on the first round, and if that's their style, like they're gonna hang out in that, like on rubble or above heavy, and you're in B, is to literally never look, and it'll drive them insane. Like, I don't, and I'm not like, you know, you can peek out and try to counter snipe, and if you even show any effort of fighting them, they're gonna stay there and be like, haha, I will wait longer.
Yes,
but if you just never look, they're like, what? Wait,
that's
what do we do?
They're not anywhere. They're not moving.
It's a real tactic to play on the fact that some people get impatient.
Yeah.
Like, they have the map control, and you're like, dude, we're just going to hang out here. And then, like, the curious little cats they are, they poke their heads out, and then bam!
So that's I mean, some people really enjoy that. It's like, who's going to make the first move?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm like, come on already! I want to kill somebody!
I feel you on that, I do. I totally understand where you're coming from, where you don't want the first, like, you don't want the first minute of a game to not be playing yet.
Yeah.
Like, that's sort of, that's obnoxious. But I think if you can just, like,
patience.
Like, just mess with them long enough, yeah. I think any team will break. Because, like...
Yep.
Like, that's not the best strategy. Mm-hmm. It's really not. It's like staying on beach. If you can go, if you're going to have to eventually cap a zone, it's not the greatest. So I think you can break a lot of the willpowers of teams that want to sit on rubble and hardscope. I just think it's almost great when it's like, well, my super is charged too. So here we are. It's gonna have the same outcome. You haven't accomplished anything.
So we're really doing this, huh?
Yeah.
I had a really quick card.
I got all day, buddy.
I had a really quick card. I could only play. I think we managed to get a flawless card done in less than 40 minutes. It was super quick.
Look at this.
And we had I was playing with two really good players, but I was also playing very, very well. You know, like I'm not gonna overbloat my own performances or anything, but I played really, really well. And we came up against, I think we were on the eighth win, and we came up against a very good team, but they were doing exactly that. They were waiting. They'd got that spot, beach spawn. They were camped out in every available spot, rubble over the top of the heavy building, and they were literally relying on us peeking. And twice in a row, I quick peeked and zapped them all with a Queensbreaker bow, like team wipe, wrecking ball, twice in a row, and I was like,
"Love it!"
I'd got the countdown music was playing, everything was like, "Yeah!"
Before Fallout carried me to the lighthouse, I was playing with some of the other Husky Raid guys, and after seeing all the hype on the Queenbreaker's bow, courtesy of Story Machine, I was using it, and I was enjoying it. I was doing pretty well with it. Yeah, I really.
Can we take a moment to say that was a fantastic video story?
Thanks, well
that
done.
Everyone praised.
It took a long time.
Best review video I've ever seen. That was great. You had me going, man.
Here's a tip, though. I did get a couple of bits of hate mail saying that, now, great, you're a cunt, because now everyone's using this thing. Yeah, right? And here's just a tip. If you're angry that everyone's running the QBB in Trials, outsnipe them. By default, a good sniper will shit all over a Queensbreaker bow user.
Sorry, you know? I just want to quickly say... I made a YouTube video for Overwatch months ago. I did this random strategy where on Hanamura, if you're not familiar
Zarya
with the game,
thing.
Yeah, they're camping the zone, and we.
Oh,
my strategy was we rushed in with four Zarya's, two Lucio's, and we beat the whole game in like under 2 minutes. It was the biggest blitzkrieg ever, and I put it on YouTube. The video
it got Kotaku'd.
It got picked up by Kotaku, and by the end of the day, everyone in Overwatch was doing that, and I got messages like, dude, fuck you for putting that video out. Oh my god, that's too funny.
Too many Zaryas.
Too many. Alright, yeah. Once again, have gone a wee bit long, but we have time for questions, yeah?
We always have time for questions. Yeah. Questions are my favorite part. That's when I don't have to talk
question, to you guys. My number one question right now is, where's Teft?
Where is he?
Actually, is he online,
he's
right?
Deep in our hearts.
Yes.
Okay.
He's
All right.
I'm gonna tell him people keep asking for him.
We can put up a little sign. Maybe we'll have a little cardboard cutout.
Make a square in the house for Tab.
Okay.
I'm here.
Here's a question from Arrow Knight. Do tracking grenades belong in Destiny PvP?
Yes.
Tracking grenades. Yeah. I think that's the easiest ever. Yeah. I mean, sure, they're irritating to deal with, but they're not that bad, right?
It's one of the things that
anything
makes Destiny
anything that kills
unique.
Me doesn't belong in Destiny. I hate it.
Look, I mean, Axion bolts are annoying, but you can literally slide into them and take 4 damage, or you can run away from them from 10 feet, or you can just shoot them and they go away.
As a hunter who plays Night Stalker, they don't bother me at all. I just shade
step. You just shade
step. They do nothing. I get hit by an Axion once a week. Yeah,
like, they're good nades. Don't get me wrong. They're good nades, but just slide into them or shoot them.
They're good nades, Brant. All right, calm down.
A lot of people don't know that you can shoot them.
Yeah. That
surprises me every time I bring that up, and they're like, "You can what? Y'all turn around and shoot it."
I saw this one clip in Fallout go insane trying to disprove this theory, but I saw someone sit down, and the Axion bolt just like hovered over their head.
I actually put that in a very old video of mine. That's old. They patched that eventually. Yeah. If you did,
well,
the,
I think
the
you can still do it, and I'm going to tell
really?
Everyone to do
yeah.
it now.
I'm going
to
tell. I'm going to tweet out right now. Hold on. Let me.
If
get
you,
on my
I agree. If you teabag while an Axion Bolt is chasing you,
and it would spin over your head. It wouldn't be able to hit you. That was really funny.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hold on, I like it. So my Twitter question. Linking to Fallout to verify that. It is, yeah.
Here's a good. This isn't really meant for anyone to answer, but question from Ben: Who picked up the Queen's broken bullshit after Story's review?
This guy. You know who else did the fucking Fun Police? So I think just for seeing Fun Police destroy
Fimmy
people.
Fimmy picked
with
it
a new
up.
Weapon.
He messaged me, and he's getting really good with it now. I'm playing a card with him tomorrow. I'm going to be streaming this on my own channel with Jack and Fimmy. So. Yeah, if anyone wants, I'd go ahead and do it on PD, but the time's already been booked up by a really good streamer, so I can't just shove them out of the way. So it's going to be on mine. But yeah, Queensbreaker Bowman, I've been using it for a long time.
It's a fun gun.
The reason why that video was made is because we're just trying to inject a bit of fun, you know, when there's a bit of a burnout going on. So you have to select the weapons that are quite unique and a bit special, because I can't do a comedy video or a funny video on. You know, the cryptic dragon or something like that. Or maybe I should see that as a challenge. Maybe I should. I don't know. But yeah, Queensbreaker's bow is a great candidate for having fun. You know,
very fun gun.
No Land Beyond as well.
Yeah, I need to get good with that though. I suck with the No Land Beyond. Literally,
weird.
Suck
it's weird.
It is,
but I like it.
Dude, I picked it up. I was streaming the other day, and someone was like, "Use No Land Beyond." I was like, "Okay,
classic."
So I picked it up, and I was like, "Dude, I am like having such a good time right now."
And then you messaged me, like, "You're like, this gun's awesome."
Dude,
I know,
I'm like 3.0 KDs, and just having a good time. Oh God, I love that gun. Anyway, question from Alex: How
Real
can
question,
Bungie make the old raids worth doing again and rewarding?
Just make the gear infusible.
Yeah.
Like, bring it into current line. If you're playing the Vault of Glass, you're going to go for the really cool-looking Warlock helmet.
But would they have to? But with guns, would they have to make the ones that were elemental not elemental, since that's not part of
If they're
going to
stick
strategy.
With that routine, then But I think that's a really easy thing. But I honestly think we're going to get that. For the April update, they're going to bring retro raids back into circulation.
I really hope so. I'm really excited about that prospect. Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be interesting if they just mixed up some of the old raids, like just for fuck all reason. I don't know. Like, open the Vault of Glass. Hey, you know what? Put Cabal in there. Like, whatever. Like, just spin a big wheel and mess with us a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that would be funny.
I think the community's proven they really respond to changes to, you know, standard activities. So I think that's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
That'll be great.
You ruined the vault.
No radar, no revised spooky Vault of Glass.
Exactly.
I love
a fully
King's
taken
just
Vault
the
of
way
Glass.
It was.
Yeah. Oh, God.
We got time for one more question before sign off.
One more.
Favorite new Pokemon from Sun and Moon? Question from
Mark. I got mine.
Bones, give me one. Give me one to say.
I caught a crab brawler, and it is awesome. It is the goofiest little thing. It's got like a black eye, and it loves to punch. And it's this like little punchy crab, and it was like I was going over to a tree that drops berries. Everyone knows about berries in Pokemon. And it was like, there's a Pokemon hidden in the pile of berries. And I was like, what? And this little crab thing jumped out at me, and I caught it. And it's awesome. It was my favorite.
God, I love that game.
It's super good. Galizapod. Galizapod. However you say
that. Is it the Wimpod evolution?
Dude, it's...
Yeah, it's the Wimpod evolution.
Up again.
You have to kind of like chase it down.
But I got
there
like,
are places
I chased
where you can...
it, and then it ran away. And then it said, I looked up somewhere online that it says it comes back every day, but I haven't seen it for 2 days.
It took me a while to get it. I had to basically Tauros it to a corner.
Incredible.
And I got that thing. It evolved super late for a bug type, but Galizapod is so big, fam.
Dude,
he's big and
awesome.
Like he's this big, super powerful Pokemon. Who, when you deal any sort of damage to him, runs away.
It's great. The emergency exit, and you're like, oh, you dick.
He's this big, intimidating-looking Pokemon that as soon as you deal any sort of significant damage to him, he's like, I'm out. That's enough for me. I love it. It's great.
Fallout.
I don't got no Pokemon. I got nothing. I ain't got shit for you. I got no crabs. I got no Dinglybops.
Story doesn't have crabs. Story.
Got no crabs.
Got no crabs. Make it a hashtag. Send it out.
I really like my starter, Decidueye. Or however you pronounce it.
What a lame awesome. Answer.
Owl Bros. Yeah, dude, I got you, fam.
I got that one, too.
But I'm supposed like to. I'm supposed he to like, ask Fallout about his crab brawler experience. Apparently, he had a bad one.
You had a bad experience.
I did. Oh my god! Okay, I was streaming Pokemon on Twitch like day one when I picked it up, and they do this new thing, this chicken shit bullcrap move in Pokemon, where like if you're beating a wild Pokemon, it's like, oh help! Yes. He calls for help, and like another Pokemon comes in, and so I wanted to catch Crabrawler. Because I didn't have one. And it's like, I tried to throw a ball, and Pokemon was like, oh, you can only throw a ball if there's only one on the field. So it's like, okay.
Yep.
So I have to knock out the little bitch buddy who got called in for backup. So I knock out the backup, and I'm like, okay, I knocked out the backup. Time to throw a ball. And then it's like, and before the next round happens, he calls in another one. And that happened seven times. And so I was like, you know what? Both y'all motherfuckers are getting Razor Leaf right now. I am done. I'm leaving. I'm out. did not get Crabrawler.
It's so BS that they can do that after they've done a move in the same turn. It's BS.
Right? It's like they can't
it's the worst.
Waste a turn doing it. They just do it whenever they feel like it.
Good job, Game Freako. You broke the game.
again.
God.
Classic.
You did the thing.
Easily talk about that for another hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could. This could become a Pokemon podcast. real quick.
The one about the Pokemon.
Pokey Destiny podcast. Let's
well, we're only a little bit over on time tonight, boys. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think I'm good, proud man. Of us.
And no one's dead.
Yes.
Everyone's alive.
We're all here.
Yeah, we made it. No guardian.
I might
down.
Die of liver Flawless. Disease after the scotch I've been taking in, but I think I'm going to be okay.
Well,
it's
kind of
necessary
through,
to offset the salt.
Yeah.
All right, Link, you golden-voiced bastard, where can we find you?
What up, man? Hey, I'm TBL, and you can find me generally everywhere on the internet at The Black Link. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all at The Black Link. Or right here on Planet Destiny, where I do stream 3 days a week. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, all starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We have fun stuff on there. Bones.
Hey, what's going
enough,
on?
Where you at?
My name's The Black Link. You can follow me anywhere on the internet. At, the
That's
Black
correct.
Link.
It's not
Wait,
untrue.
The Black Link is white? What?
That's right. I'm Bones.
Oh, my God.
And I would have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for you damn kids.
Anyway, you can follow me at bones_CR or go to crucibleradio.com and listen to that show as well. And
let's
story, go. What about you, man?
Well, you've noticed I've conveniently changed my tag just below my my box here. For once, that's how you spell me. If you type that in on YouTube, you'll find me. If you type that in on Twitter, you'll find me. And you'll find me on Twitch with that same tag there. You can also head along to the Planet Destiny YouTube page, and along the right hand column, all of our stuff is there, so you can click and subscribe and send us money and donations and sweets and chocolate, beer and whiskey are all very favored.
Yes, of course.
Fallout, how about
definitely
yourself?
Whiskey.
Where
hey.
Can we find you?
Hey, I'm Fallout Plays, and I don't mean to cut anybody off, but huge thank you to Dr. Lupo, who apparently raided the Planet Destiny stream.
Let's go.
Dr. Lupo, you are the ultimate homie. We love you to death.
Big man.
Maybe a little bit late for a raid, though, because we're about to end.
Right?
But we're going to we're gonna take that.
We're going to pass it on
we're
to somebody
take
else.
Love and pass
Party
it on.
Keeps yes. Welcome.
Stay
and
tuned.
Goodbye.
But you can find me on YouTube and Twitch at Fallout Plays. Just Google it. You'll freaking find me somewhere. I got tons of videos on
them.
All things PvP. And yeah, enough about that. Mega, where can we find you?
Oh, hey, it's me, everybody. You can find me at Husky Raid Guys on Twitter. You can search Husky Raid Guys on, or you can just search Husky Raid on YouTube. I've had a bit of scotch, all right? It's hard for me to remember my plugs. You want to talk to Husky Raid? Join our Discord. Go to our subreddit /r/HuskyRaid. It's got me and two other subscribers. I randomly found it this week. It's fun stuff. Yeah.
There you go.
Just Husky Raid everywhere. You'll find us, you know. That's it. That's all I have to say. Take us out of here, somebody.